The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, 'Engage in trade with these until I return.' His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, 'We do not want this man to be our king.' But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, 'Sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones.' He replied, 'Well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities.' Then the second came and reported, 'Your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more.' And to this servant too he said, 'You, take charge of 5 cities.' Then the other servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant.' He said to him, 'With your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in a bank? Then on my return I would have collected it with interest.' And to those standing by he said, 'Take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, 'Sir, he has 10 gold coins.' He replied, 'I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me.' After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem." The Gospel of the Lord. The book of Revelation was written to Christians living in a time of persecution, and Roman persecution, no less. It was a very harsh persecution, sporadically enforced across the entire Roman Empire, but for a period of about 200 to 300 years. And there was hardly a family that did not know someone, if not have a family member, who had been killed for his faith. And there did not exist so much as one single parish that did not bleed from the scars of martyrdom. So frequent was it to the Christians of that time. And the book of Revelation was written to these Christians to try to comfort them, to try to help them to persevere. And it's in light of that that our first reading today begins to make sense. The author of the book of Revelation is named John. And in our first reading today, John is lifted up above the chaos of the earth, among the time of persecution, and he's allowed to see things the way God sees things. And what does John see? Well, the first thing John sees is a throne. "Behold," the book of Revelation says, "there was a throne in heaven." Not a throne on earth, and certainly not a throne in hell. With the message being, despite how things appear, God reigns over all and orders all things towards his will. The next thing he sees is 24 elders. Now, back in the Old Testament, King David had 24 priestly divisions who shared the rule of the kingdom with him. The 24 elders, who are they? They represent those who have gone before us in faith. They're still with us, sharing in the reign of God, in spite of how things might appear. And lastly, He sees four living creatures, one who looks like an eagle, one who looks like a man, one who looks like a lion, one who looks like an ox. Anyone familiar with the book of Ezekiel would know those symbols. They come from Ezekiel, and they represent the four qualities of God's reign, with the power of the lion, with the strength of the ox, with the wisdom of the man, the swiftness of the eagle. And what's the message? Have faith. In spite of how things appear, have faith. God rules over all and orders everything according to his will. It's actually a very similar message in the very mysterious gospel that we just heard. And although it is one of Jesus' parables, it's more than just a parable. It actually describes an actual historical event. Herod Archelaus, who was the son of Herod the Great, no less than the Herod who tried to kill the baby Jesus, was given the kingship of Judea and went to Rome to seek the approval of Caesar Augustus and the backing of the Roman Empire. Before he went, a group of Israelites protested. They said, "We do not want this man to be our king." And so Herod went to Rome. Herod got the backing of Caesar Augustus. And when he got back to Israel, what do you think he did to all those protesters? He had them all killed. Now, for our purposes, the nobleman who went on a journey represents Christ. All of those who don't want him to rule represent the powers and the authorities of this world. And all of those handed coins, they represent you and me, to whom God has entrusted the treasures of the faith, with the message being, don't be like that guy who did nothing with his coin. He had absolutely no confidence whatsoever in God Almighty, because in a sense, Christ is like a nobleman who's gone away on a journey. He has ascended into heaven and will not return again in bodily form until the second coming. And I don't know about you, but I'm not holding my breath that that's going to happen in my own lifetime, right? And while he's away, what do people say? They say, "We do not want this man to be our king." So do the secular powers and rulers of the age. You know, it's fascinating. I've often said this before, but go into any worldly setting. You know, maybe you can pick an upscale club in New York or Boston or Washington, D.C. And mingle, if you will. Go ahead and have yourself a mixed drink and put on your finest attire and start chit-chatting it up with people. And you'll notice that you can talk about anything you want. You can talk about politics, you can talk about philosophy, you can talk about art, you can talk about current events, you can talk about science, you can talk about the weather, but there's one thing that no one wants to talk about. No one will talk about Jesus Christ. He is not welcome by the rulers of this world. Fascinating how he's singled out among all figures in history as the one person to whom you cannot speak. He's the one that is not welcome. With the message being, have more faith in God than to let the rulers and powers of this world deter you. You know, the great saints, I think, for example, of St. Lawrence or St. Perpetua and St. Felicity, killed in the Roman persecutions, went down to their deaths with irrepressible joy, going down to their deaths, no less. So many of the saints lived in the most ordinary of circumstances with the most irrepressible joy. And why is it? Because they had so much faith in the King. That's the life we want to live. Keeping our eyes on the Lord in spite of the chaos around us in the world and living like we really believe what we profess. That's, in a sense, spending and investing the coin of faith that God has given you. I have a friend who, I've probably quoted this before, but it's one of the wisest little analogies I've ever heard for all of this. And this is what she says. She says, the winner in the great battle between good and evil that's being played throughout history, the winner is no secret. It's no mystery. In the great battle between good and evil, not only is the outcome known, but the final score is already posted up on the scoreboard. The real mystery is why so many of us or ambling about the playing field of life, still unsure which team's jersey we want to wear. Have more faith than that. I chose you from among the world, Jesus says, to go and bear fruit that will last. Let's do so with confidence and no shortage of faith. Amen.